Good morning.
Love, 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 love.
There's nothing you can't do be done. Nothing you can't sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can't say that you can learn how to play the game. It's easy.
Nothing you can make that can't be made. There's no one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy.
As we are on the path to a great sermon series that's all about love. What's love had got to do with it? Well, I got a few announcements real fast, though, real quick. Next Sunday, big Sunday breakfast following worship service. Bring a friend, if you will. That's the point. Share the love that you have and bring someone to breakfast. It doesn't cost a dime. And also next Sunday, we know that Don, he got back from Guatemala. with a couple of people that he loves dearly, and they're going to be here too. They went and they got a nice little presentation to share with you about the way they showed their love to some people there and built another house. Okay, so next Sunday, and then we have breakfast right after that. And then May 2nd, Cinco de Banco. Cinco de Banco is a great time speaking about love and fellowship and coming together. That's a great way for us to share some food, some fun, some fellowship, to appreciate each other. So mark that on your calendar. I hope you come. It's going to be a great time. Well, let's start with a word from God in Psalm 100. We have it. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Well, they're starting it out that way, I think. Maybe. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the very sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Love came down. Join and sing, if you will.
If my heart is overwhelmed and I cannot hear your voice, I hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life, they come, and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands of faith, I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done, in the life I have because of your Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out and remind my soul. I am yours. I am forever yours. My heart is filled with hope, every promise comes my way. When I feel your hands of grace rest upon me, staying desperate for you, God, staying humbled at your feet, I will lift these hands of praise, I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done, and the life I have because of your Son. Love came down, let's sing this together. Love came down, set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours. Mountain high, oh valley low, I sing out and remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. I am yours, I am yours, for all my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. love came down. Love came down.
Thank you, Will. Jake, thank you. Join with me in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, how terrible it feels to be unloved, to be not cared for, to not be thought about. But you cared and thought about us to the end by the gift of your very own Son. You give us the assurance that love is ours. We are forever yours. Let today that power of love touch our hearts, to open them wide, so that others might find love through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, please be seated. You need a little rest. Yeah, we've been up for a while. I think a great message from the Bible is one that comes from John. He wrote a number of epistles. He's the one that they said Jesus loved the most. And when you read what he has to say about love, you can understand why. 1 John, dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another, don't you think? No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Reckless love. Now you can stand, join, sing. Great song. Great song.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so kind to me. Sing all that again. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so kind to me. Still I'm found pleasing, I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah. Thank you. when I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. These are 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Yeah, yeah. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. God, oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves a 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God.
But I'm thank you. you know, I don't want the people on YouTube to miss the introduction either. So, oh my, thank you very much. So that's much better. Okay, is it too loud? No, okay. All right, so what I did was I went down the hill with my brother-in-law to go to this truck that had ribs and chicken and all that. And I got to tell you, the line was very, very, very long. But we waited. We took the line, the long, long line, as a sign that this must be some really good stuff. And it was. But as I was waiting in line, I noticed this guy on his truck had these posters taped there onto the truck. And all of the posters were advertising some recent things that were going to be happening on the island. And one of the posters had in big dark letters the words, "What's love got to do with it?" It was about a revival at a church. What's love? Now that sounded really familiar to me, like a song that I knew, but I never really thought about very much. What's love got to do with it? Got to do with it? What's love but a sweet old-fashioned notion? What's love? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? Some of you knew it, right? Well, then it said, come and hear so-and-so speak. And I'm not talking about Tina Turner here. I'm talking about some preacher. And it got me to thinking, what a great idea. In 1993, Tina Turner came out with this hit that spread like wildfire across the airwaves. And the song was called, What's Love Got to Do with It? That's it. That's what I need to think about. That would make a great sermon series, I thought. You know, just digging into that. Have you ever read the lyrics to that song? You gotta do it. Because I think it helps me to jump off like a diving board into relationships and what it takes to make relationships really great and wonderful, especially our relationship with God. I mean, about what really matters and counts if you want to have one. I mean, namely, a relationship. What you need is love. All you need is love. I won't sing that one. Because love has everything to do with it. If ever there was a song about self-centeredness, I thought, this is the one by Tina Turner. Believe me, you only need but read the lyrics. It'll blow you away. To Tina Turner, love may be a second-hand emotion, a sweet old-fashioned notion. I mean, who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? But I think throughout her song, she knew the truth. She knew the truth, don't you think? While being physical is a great stimulant when it comes to love, you cannot have a wonderful, meaningful, and lasting relationship with anybody without love. You can't. It won't happen. You're only fooling yourself. You're going down the wrong road. So I decided this would make a great sermon series because I felt that, well, it's my belief that many of us end up thinking like Tina Turner sometimes. We do. We get caught up in our emotions and the things that are physical, and we get lost in ourselves and what we need, what we want, and then we wonder why we can't have any long and enduring relationship going on in our life with whoever it may be. It seems to me that a lot of people are singing the tune in 2024, and that's a long time from 93, What's Love Got to Do with It, as they carry on in their relationships. So I would thought it would allow God to show us all that love really has everything to do with something deeper. Something deeper than what is physical, something deeper than what we get our hands on, and teach us about any and all relationships that we would choose to have. He's got something to say, I believe, about what love is really all about. If I asked you right now what your number one goal is in your life, what would be your answer? Happiness? Success? Wealth? Comfort? Security? Fame? To have fun? To be respected? Your answer would reveal your dominant life value. All of us have a dominant life value tucked away in us somewhere, someplace, whether we are aware of it or not. We have a dominant life value. We do. It is true that maybe other people can recognize this in us more than we ourselves see it, but it is true. You have one. It is what you consciously or unconsciously use to make your decisions by. If your dominant life value is having fun, and well, you've got a couple of events planned for this afternoon, you're going to choose the event that, well, give you the most fun in your estimation. If your dominant life value is maybe comfort, you will choose that which is most comfortable for you. If it is safety, you will choose the least risky alternative for your options every time. If it is being appreciated, you will do what it gets to get attention, to get that praise, to get that recognition that you so long for, and so forth. And so on, because this value dominates everything that is about you. Sometimes we need to remind our spouses of what their dominant life value is. They don't see it, but we do. We think. It's that which is so important to you. Did you know that God holds out to us what is to be our dominant life value? He does. He tells it us that it is to be love. Love is what God is all about. The Bible even says it, doesn't it? God is love. Learning to love is the number one lesson that God intends for us to learn and to put into practice. Love is to supersede everything that comes before us as it comes to the choices that we have to make and how we make those choices. Life, then, is the school for love. It's the school of love. No wonder Jesus said that the Bible, God's word to the world, can be summed up with two commands. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew chapter 22. St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, let love be your aim. Make it your goal. John, that apostle we talked about before that Jesus loves so much, he said, we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. And then Peter said, most important of all, continue to show deep love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. So our highest goal, our greatest aim, our number one priority, numero uno, our highest aspiration, our strongest ambition and constant focus, our passionate intention is to be love, to learn to love, to be loving, to grow in love. It is to be your number one dominant value. I believe love is here.
Come to the water, you who thirst, you'll thirst no more. Come to the Father, you who work, you'll work no more. all you who labor in vain. And to the broken and shamed, love is here, love is now, love is pouring from his hands, from his brow. Love is near, it satisfies. Streams of mercy flowing from his side. His love is here. Come to the treasure, you who search, and you'll search no more. Come to the lover, you who want, you'll want no more. All you who labor in vain, and to the broken shame, yeah, love is here, love is now, love is pouring from his hands, from his brow. Love is near, satisfies. Streams of mercy flowing from his side. And to the bruised and fallen, captive bound and broken hearted, he is the Lord, he is the Lord. By his stripes he's paid all ransom, from his wounds we drink salvation. He is the Lord, he is the Lord. Love is here, love is now, love is pouring from his hands, from his brow. Love is near, it satisfies. Streams of mercy flowing from his side. Streams of mercy flowing from his side. 'Cause love is here. Love is here.
Thank you, Will. Yeah, I know love is here. Boy, I mean, how risky is it to raise your hand and say, Al, I can't hear you? You know, it takes love to do something like that. Love is here. Now, it's not like I'm going to say all of a sudden, I'm going to be more loving, and then it happens. No, love is not easy. Even when the Beatles sing it out, it's easy, you know. No, it's not easy. It's as easy as the cross. It is as easy as suffering and dying. Selfishness must be replaced by unselfishness. Conceit must be replaced by some compassion. Ego must be replaced by a spirit of altruism. Focus on me has to change to we. So how? How does love come my way in a fallen world where every heart and relationship is marred, it's broken, it's stained, it's injured, it's damaged? When we live in such a world of brokenness, where one country attacks another country and wants to obliterate them off the face of the earth. That is what this message and the ones that will follow are going to be all about in the weeks ahead in this sermon series. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be talking about how we can grow in our relationships by the power and joy of love. as Jesus brings it our way, healing us, restoring us, acknowledging us, helping us. I pray that that is exactly what you want to do because, well, to you, love is your dominant life value, isn't it? God did not make us to live alone in this world. And when love escapes us, it's a terrible feeling. When we think no one cares. When we are desperately alone, a terrible feeling. It does something to us in our head, in the style of life that we choose to live. Have you noticed how this happens sometimes to any of us? We were never meant to live in such a vacuum. You need other people's help, and other people need you. God calls us to be loving so that our lives will blossom, so that the lives of other people will blossom as well. So God, He cares about where your heart is at, where it is at today, especially if you have come here feeling like you aren't loved, like you don't mean much. God cares about where you are at with Him so that you can be where you need to be with others. That's the point. I hope you agree. The power of love comes from God, and God has a lot to give us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God's love is for anyone and for everyone. He wants to empower people, to bring to them the great joy of life that comes with love. And so God is reminding all of us that if we really are looking for life, real life, then we need to know that it comes with love because He is love. There is no doubt in my mind that with conflict, divorce, violence, prejudice, wars, abuse, division, polarization around us each and every day, we all need messages coming our way about building healthy and lasting relationships. It's what the church is to be all about, and it is what I pray this church would highly value. So how do we bridge the gap? How do we bridge the gap between what we desire and what we come to experience so that we can have healthy and strong relationships? It's not easy. It's not easy. We know that. On the one side of the gap, we face the brokenness, division, failed marriages, broken families, absent parents, rebellious children, disloyal friends, and even people in the church that are gossiping. On the other side, we hear the words of Jesus. A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. And when did Jesus say those words? Do you remember when? He said them right when everything was falling apart, right when everything seemed to be collapsing, right when things were so beautiful but then came so tragically terrible. At least it was to the disciples from their point of view and their perspective. Do you remember? It was a pain-filled moment when He said those words. It was on Maundy Thursday of Holy Week, the night that Jesus instituted His supper, describing exactly the way He would die, His death, the night that He was going to be arrested and betrayed, of course, and delivered into the hands of men, the very night that He would be praying in the Garden of Gethsemane with tears of blood dripping down His face to the ground, in the expectation of all that He would suffer, all that He would have to go through, the very night that He would go on trial, because He loved us so much. Maundy Thursday. Maundy means commandment. It comes from the Latin word mandatum, Or, to put it simply in English, mandate. On Maundy Thursday, after washing the feet of the disciples, Jesus gave that word as to what would make the difference in this world of hatred and violence and evil, and that word was love. And he was ready to give it for everyone and anyone. And he called upon his disciples to take it to heart so that they would see how they could come to be making a difference in the lives of other people, just like Jesus was making in their lives. When you are in trouble, you need an expert. When you're having trouble with the sink at home and it's leaking, you need a plumber. When your roof is starting to leak, you need to find a roofer. When you perhaps are experiencing the transmission in your car falling apart, you need to find a mechanic. You need some concrete, you need a concrete man. And he's sitting here right today. Who's the expert? I will tell you, Tina Turner is not the expert. The world's most important expert in relationships is Jesus. Jesus was great at relationships. The crowds just came after him. They were following him. The followers of Jesus, they wanted to hear every word he had to say. And even his own enemies gave him an unintended compliment when they called him the friend of sinners. Reading through the Gospels, I am oftentimes very much surprised at what Jesus comes to say or by what he does. But hands down, he was doing and saying what really needed to be done and said. And we need to be paying attention. Let me hold out to you two points, two things that I think make this point. Important points. Number one, relationships are painful. Number two, relationships are wonderful. Jesus showed us that truth the day that he was talking on that Maundy Thursday. We live out the drama that plays out between those two truths. Relationships are painful. Relationships are wonderful. I hold out to you today that truth by way of two people, Neil and Robin. Neil and Robin had only been married a few years. In those 2 years, they experienced such wonder, such greatness. Their lives were just overflowing with joy. It was exciting for them. But then a suddenness tore their life apart. Robin suffered a brain hemorrhage. The doctor spoke to Neil about the high-risk surgery and the low odds of having success. Even if Robin were to survive, the doctor said, even if she would make it through the surgery, she would more than likely be in a semi-conscious state for the rest of her life. Neil's immediate response was one of faith and love. He believed that God had a plan in all of this, and he was committed to love Robin no matter what would take place, no matter what would happen, he would be there for her. Well, Robin survived the surgery. Neil, he kept his commitment to love. He was by her side. Day after day, he was there with Robin, speaking to her, although not getting very much of a response at all. Little response, little by little, bit by bit. He continued to reach out to her, to love her in whatever way he could. He wanted to let her know that he was with her. She didn't respond. But then, little by little, bit by bit, her hand moved. Her hands moved. Her mouth started to speak. Not much, just little utterances. And Neil was there supporting her, helping her on. She started to move her legs, her feet, and then she began to take a few victorious steps on her own. Almost every weekend, you could see Robin and Neil making their way to church. Neil, a shining example of overwhelming love, and Robin, a powerful example of overwhelming courage and faith and persistence. Now, Robin, she began to wonder about her life. She began to wonder if she would ever actually accomplish anything, having to spend her life forever in a wheelchair. But the truth of the matter was is that she was preaching a life-changing message by the power of her love, by her mere presence before the people in that church. Those caring for Robin, they saw a miracle happen in her. It wasn't just the miracle of the healing of her body. They had seen that happen many times. The greatest miracle, they said, is not in the healing, but rather it was in the love that they witnessed between those two people, Neil and Robin, one there for the other there for the other. What I am saying here is that this is the love of a couple who made the choice to continue in love, even in this most crushing of all circumstances. Neil chose to love in a marriage that was not even close to what Neil and Robin had envisioned for themselves. And Robin chose to accept and return Neil's love and not become lost in her regret for the changes that took place in her life and feeling sorry for herself. She was not going there. No. People, relationships are filled with both wonder and pain. With all of the years that I have been in the ministry, I have seen it again and again, the pain, a couple on the verge of a divorce that neither one of them wants, but both of them are pursuing. Parents who can't get through to their child. All the time, all the money, all the heartache invested, can't get through. A son whose dad has treated him with disrespect, cruel contempt, and abuse. A friend whose feeling of betrayal is so deep in her that she cannot trust anyone ever again and lives in misery and loneliness and won't reach out. The wonder, the marriage no one thought could ever be restored, and it was. Friendships in a small group of people at church helped to form the bedrock of life for an individual who felt lost and forgotten and thought they had no place to go. A family that would surely fall apart because of the sudden illnesses that took place and hit them, but they all came together in a most amazing way to be stronger than ever before because of it. One woman desperately alone and afraid, finding comfort and support in a new home, in a nursing home, where people honor her and her life. And love changes her perspective that she finds there. And now she wants to live and no longer thinks of, when will I die? Yes, I've seen it. Pain and wonder. When Jesus came to this earth, nothing became clearer than the fact that he understood all about both the wonder and the pain of the relationships that we have in our life and how important they are. Both the wonder and the pain in developing us more and more in the spirit of his love. He experienced them both himself, Jesus did. And today he comes to you and to me to strengthen our relationships with him so that our relationships with each other would be better. I pray that's one of the big reasons that you choose to come to church. I pray it's one of the great reasons you chose to come here today, opening your heart to God so that your heart will be open to each other, to someone else that maybe you have been pushing away. Maybe you have been ignoring. Maybe you have even forgotten all about them. God is not pushing you away. He will never push you away. And he wants to work a miracle in you and through you so that your heart is big enough for that somebody else, someone else. Maybe you know who that someone is. Jesus is always coming our way to show us how to enjoy our relationships that we do have with each other and with God Himself. For that, He did what He did on that Maundy Thursday. He gives us Himself. He picks up the cup and He says, "This is my blood." He picks up the bread. He says, "This is my body." He gives us a meal to celebrate His life among us, that His rule has become real in us by way of our relationships to each other, and of course, because of our relationship to Him, to touch our hearts, to empower us, so that we might be empowered to be there for others, to love them. A new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He gave thanks, He broke it. He gave it to His disciples, and He said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you." After the same manner also, He took the cup. It was after supper. He gave thanks. He gave it to them, and He said, "Take and drink. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of your sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Welcome to the table of the Lord. Love God. Love each other. May this, the true body and blood of Christ, strengthen you and keep you in true faith to life everlasting. Peace and gladness serve the Lord always. Amen. Pray with me. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the power and strength that you bring to us to personally come into our world, a world of violence, a world of destruction, a world of betrayal. You come to seek us out, to let us know that you are our friend, that you love us to the nth degree. You gave forth your own Son. We ask, Heavenly Father, that we might grow in a full appreciation of all that He wants to bring to our hearts, that our hearts might be open to others who need strength and vision about tomorrow. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the families that are going through difficulties and hard times right now, the division between mother and children and father and children, husband and wife. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would bring by your Spirit a message of wonder in the midst of the pain. Let us know, Heavenly Father, that you are always with us, even as we now pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of you always. Amen. We close with one song. It's called "Stand in Our Love," as we take our offering now.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. Brokenness and pain is all I know. I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. To the lies, won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand.
Standing on the